clear my mind from all the things that are bouncing around inside even now. Lord, I need to only hear from you. I pray that the church only hears from you. I pray, Father, that my mind would be set on the kingdom above, Lord, and that you would set our hearts for the realms that are held for us in the heavenly places. Lord, we ask for leadership, for guidance, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the time that we have together. And Father, that you would speak. The Spirit would move in your church and we would speak only the things of the Most High God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're talking about the pillars that need to be in each Christian's life. I drew this a couple weeks ago, and we'll still be using the thought that is in this diagram here, this thing. Jesus is building his church. Right, Jesus builds the ecclesia of the church. We know that we were not a people at one time, but then we became the people of God when God moved on us. When he called you in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your darkness, before you were a people group, although you were human, you were not alive to God before he called your name and you answered to him affirmatively. So you may have been alive, but you had no life until Christ gave you the rebirth. That second birth is what brings true life. And God knew who you were going to be, who was going to answer that call before you were ever born. Before the foundations of the earth, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, he called us, he chose us. Peter calls us living stones, and the reason that we are living stones, God calls us out of the world of rock. And he calls us and he makes us from a dead rock to a living rock. He takes that living stone and he puts us together in a group of believers called the church, an ecclesia, called out and brought together. And for the reason to make holy sacrifices to God. That's the whole reason that the church is on this earth. It's not for my benefit, it's for your benefit. It's not for just our benefit, but that a lost and dying world can see the works of God in a body of believers, the way we love each other, the way we study God's Word, the way that we're not moved by fear, but we're moved through faith, right? And the world will see that, and they will desire what we have, right? The lost, the world that has no hope, is looking for one true hope. They're looking for what we have, and we have faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is supposed to share with all of the world, everybody. Because I don't know who God called, but I do know that I'm called to tell everybody about the calling of God in my personal life. All of us are. This is the living house. That's a sacrifice that is holy to God. We know that there is no other foundation but Christ Jesus. There's, out of all the foundations that are in this world, the only foundation that will last until the new world will be Jesus Christ, that foundation. His grace that he gave from the very beginning, in the beginning, God said that grace to the very last amen and amen of the book of the Revelation. All talks about the grace and the mercy and the majesty of God. That's the foundation that we teach, that we preach, that we show. In that, he tells us that we can become overcomers. In this world that we live in right now, there are pressures. Anybody feel the pressure? Amen? Do you feel like the world is kind of closing in on you and that there's not much hope on CNN, right? Or Fox News? Or any place else that you're looking for? Our hope comes only through Christ and Christ alone. And through that hope, we can become overcomers. This tells us in the Revelation to all the churches. He knows what the problems of the world is. He knows what it takes to become an overcomer. And he wants us to achieve those marks. And we can only achieve those marks to become an overcomer through obedience to Jesus Christ and the living Word of God. Which is the living Word of God, not and, like there's different things. And so, to become an overcomer, right, and to enter into the glory of God, there are certain pillars that need to be in every building. And you are a living stone, but even in that living stone, God is building something in you. He's changing you. And every structure that has ever been built by man needs pillars. We need something that we can always go back to and say, there's my pillar, and I'm going to hold on to that. One of these things, or the first pillar that we started talking about, is salvation. Salvation. You need to know that you are saved. And how do you know that you're saved? It's because you have a relationship with the one true living God. He called your name. You answered, "Yes, Lord." That is the beginning of setting up the other pillars in your life. Because without salvation, your prayer is really null and void. Right? Without salvation, you can't even really study the Word of God. Without salvation, there's no real fellowship inside of the body of Christ. Without salvation, you can't really witness the goodness of God, because without salvation, you haven't experienced the witness of God in your life. You can't really love, have charity, without the salvation of Jesus Christ in you. You don't even know how to love until you get saved, because you weren't even a people back then. But now that you are, then there's service and faith, and all of those, they pivot on this first one, is do you know that you are saved? And I got good news for you. You can know. You can know of your salvation. You can know of that. There are certain proofs that a Christian has in their life that identify you as one of his. Right? Do you understand that? Now, I won't achieve salvation until this corruption, this body, gets put off and new corruption gets in. Or, excuse me, incorruption gets in. I said that kind of wrong. I want to put on new corruption. No, I want the old, all corruption taken away, and I want the newness of God within me, right? How do I know for sure I have that? Well, there are evidences. We're going to talk about some of those evidences of your salvation today. The problem with the church in America is this. There's saving faith is part of humanity's response to God in salvation experience. It is as the same as looking to Jesus for the Savior, which is John 3:16, right? We'll get into that. Saving faith is both simple and very complex. Now, catch what the writer of this article said. And I don't really know who wrote it, but it made sense to me. Saving faith is very simple, but it's also very complex. It's simple as the drawing of a man receiving It is as simple as a drowning man receiving a rope, right, to be drawn to safety. That's the simplest thing. I was lost in the sea of sin and death. God sent me His Son, the scarlet thread. And when I recognized that was the saving hope, I grab a hold of that. Now, just grabbing a hold of that, I have Him, but there comes a time that He has me. Right? There comes a time that it becomes more than just a verbal thing, but there should be a life reaction out of the inward belief of salvation. So, He is like a drowning man reaching and groping for a rope. Yet, at the same time, it sets in motion all the judicial majesty of heaven. It is in keeping of the ultimate purpose of God. While believing is simple, there are some of whom it is too simple, and they find it difficult in the Scriptures for the intensity of one's faith is not important as the object of faith. Often, belief in the gospel produces emotional response instead of an individual personality change. Amen. All right? Salvation is more than just the good feeling at the moment. Right. Salvation is the beginning of something that's called continual sanctification. All right? I was drowning, lost in my sin. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I was not a people, and God called me out of not being a people and made me into a person, a living person. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was in darkness, now I'm in light. There was a change in the supernatural thing that happened when salvation came to me, and I understood it, and I accepted it. But all of that accepting and understanding all came from God. I could not understand salvation, saving grace, until God illuminated my mind that I needed a Savior. Same thing happened to you. Real quick, I want you to understand my belief in this. I think we all got saved with the same pattern. Different situations, but the same pattern. God saw you lost, without form and void. Kind of like when the Spirit moved over the earth the very first time. It was without form and void. There was a blackness there.
and God spoke. Over your heart, before you knew Jesus Christ, there was a blackness there. You were without form and you were void. There was no real life inside of you. Then God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was. Because I was dark before Christ, and then Christ spoke into my world, and something changed. It didn't change immediately on the outside, but on the inside, something started to grow. The seed was planted. The understanding started to come up. The roots started to spread deep long before the leaves ever started to show. That is the beginning of the salvation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And you know, again, guys, I hate to start in the middle of a chapter like this, but it's a good one. Say amen when you get there. All right. Well, I'll start one back. These things I write unto you that your joy may be full. Isn't that good news? What you're about ready to hear, what John's about ready to tell you, what he's saying, I want you to have the full joy of the living God, that you can have the fullness of, you can have your best life now. Amen? It's not going to be in the physical, it's going to be in the spiritual. This then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Check out what John is saying here. Listen to the fullness of what he's trying to get across to the church. This is the message that we heard from him from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same message that John the Apostle is writing in the Gospel of John is the same message here, that in Christ there is no darkness at all. In fact, in John chapter 1 says, in him was the light, and the light was the life of man. And he let that light come into men, or that light come into men that we might have life. Right? Did you understand that? That God sent his light into your darkness that you might experience what real life is. Because without Jesus Christ, without salvation in you, you may be living, but you're not alive.
That's right.
You may be on this earth breathing and touching and living and birthing and all those things, but you're not really alive until you have experienced that second birth in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Till you've experienced salvation. And when that happens, something in the supernatural changes. All of a sudden, you can start to see things. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone, right? I can see all obstacles in my way. You know why I can do that? Because before I knew Christ, before God called me, I was just walking around stumbling, groping, as in the dark, looking for hope, looking for something, a lifeline to hold on to. And I grabbed on a lot of things that really were not life. I thought they were, but there was no life in them. Drugs, alcohol, myself, my business, how good I was, right? My pride. I grabbed a hold of all of those things, and every single one of them left me dry and hanging and with no life. Until Jesus. Until salvation came. And I grabbed a hold of that scarlet thread that started in the very beginning, the grace of God that began. He called me. He illuminated it to me. He showed me what truth was. He showed you what truth was. And when you understood truth as a person, not a concept, then you started to grasp what real life was all about. You started to see things for the first time. That was the beginning of your salvation. That first spark of faith started a chain reaction in your life, on your inner man, that should be resulting in an outward showing of who God is in the human being. I don't know if you've ever thought of salvation quite like this. You know, we can go back to John real quick. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And this is where I left off last week, so we'll start praying. I'll pray and we'll get this thing started. Amen. So I lay the foundation, right? Christ Jesus. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that as we open up your word, that you would speak to us. Father, I pray that any darkness that is in us would be cast away by the light, by the knowledge, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and I ask that you would move mighty in me through this congregation, that we wouldn't have this truth locked up in vessels, but it would be poured out into the darkness of this world, that they might see true light and hunger and thirst for the righteousness that dwells within the true believer in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' high and mighty name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 3, there was a Pharisee. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, whose name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. What a great thing that Nick was telling me. Listen, Jesus, you're a cool dude. You're doing things that nobody else could do. God must be with you because there's no way that you can heal. There's no. If God wasn't with you, then you couldn't do any of these things. Jesus is going to cut right to the case, right to the very quick of it, because it's not that God was with him, it was that he was God. Right? So he cuts through all of the make-you-feel-good speech, and he gets right into the heart of the matter with Nicodemus. He says, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, amen and amen. He said, Jesus answered unto him, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you are born again, you can't even mentally visualize the kingdom of God. What we're talking about here on Sunday morning, if you ain't born again, you can't even.
Absolutely not.
It will blow your ship not only out of the water, it will vaporize the boards that are on your boat. And you can't get into this without salvation. Because it takes the moving of the Holy Spirit to even start to comprehend the depths of the teachings that's going on in here on Sunday mornings.
Right.
It's not me, praise God, I'm not teaching that. Amen. So I ain't talking about me, I'm talking about you guys. Because it's not even our Sunday school teacher that's doing that, it's the Holy Spirit working inside of the body of Christ that's bringing these things to the surface that we can even look at them. We are born again, so we're starting to see the kingdom of God. We are born again, so there's illumination coming from the very throne room of God into the hearts of men that's making us hunger and thirst for the truth of God's word, for a deeper understanding of the Jehovah Jireh, from God, from the Elohim, from the real true being of who God is. We're desiring to look into that. If you ain't born again, you don't want to see that. You don't. In fact, even if you wanted to, Jesus says you can't see it. It is impossible for those who are not born of the Spirit to see the things of God. But those who are born of the Spirit, he creates a hunger and a thirst for the deeper things of God. Not that we can just gain knowledge in our head, but we can take the fullness of God into our heart and spread it over the world. That we can show any man, every man who has a question, the answer through the heavenly realms. There's going to be a lot of people coming with questions real soon.
Oh, you got that right.
There's going to be a lot of hurt on this earth real soon. It's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of wondering why these things happen. And we are studying the Word of God that we might tell them. And we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we might show them. Not show them our smarts, but show them his wisdom, his power, his might, his kingdom. Amen? That's where Jesus, when he told his disciples to go out, he always told them, preach about the kingdom. Tell them about the kingdom. Don't tell them how to heal people. Don't tell them how to speak in tongues. Don't tell them how to tithe. Don't tell them how to do that. Tell them about the kingdom of God. Tell them about my righteousness. Tell them about the holiness that is withheld within the Most High God. Tell them that. Amen. Oh, what would happen if the church really started grasping that we're supposed to teach the kingdom? That we're supposed to teach the salvation that comes from God. That we can have the kingdom of God within us in such a way that it becomes a pillar in our life that we are, that building could not be shaken to the ground. Because it's founded. It's on the sharp level off the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. That foundation is perfect because of Jesus Christ. And we can set our pillar of salvation, bam, right there on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when we can tell the world that, when the world starts shaking and trembling in fear, wondering what to do, the government's doing this, the world system's doing that, the virus is doing this, we take all that, push it to the side and say, but God is in charge, but God is doing this. His grace and His mercy, His compassion are still real today as the day you accepted Him. That is the cornerstone of our salvation. It's not just because He loved us so much that we got saved, that we can see the kingdom of God. And because we can see it, we need to show it to others. Right? There's a work there. But anyhow, it says, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he can't even see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, talking to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, Nick, he's still stuck in the permanent. He's still stuck in the physical. Jesus is talking spiritual birth. Nick at night.
Nick,
not that guy, but this guy, right? This Nick at night that came to Jesus by night, he couldn't see the deeper things. He only saw what was on the surface. He didn't want to really know God deeper than his religion would let him go. See, that's why we don't teach religion here. We teach Jesus Christ and the relationship that He has for us. We teach Him as a loving Father bringing us out of darkness into His light. We teach Him as His arm is never too short to save. We teach Him as alive and real and a lover of the lost. That's what we teach here. That's how we teach Jesus Christ. And Nick, he couldn't get past the physical. And Jesus says unto him again, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one, catch that, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Look at what Jesus is saying here. There are things that are going to happen that are outside of our flesh. There are things, there's a spiritual realm and a flesh realm. You are born through your mom in the flesh. You are born through the sin of Adam into all men. You are born lost, a slave to sin. That's how you are born. That's what your flesh is. That's what this skin reminds us of, that we are sinners. Amen? That's our natural birth. That's all it reminds us of, is how that our first father, Adam, he sinned against God, and that sin brought in death, and that death flowed from the very first man to the very last man that will ever be born. That sin happened. And it's inside of us. It's indelible. We can't get rid of it. We can't change it. But God sent the Spirit of God to dwell with inside the hearts of man, that we might know true life through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. That's our salvation. That's where it comes from. We need to be born of the Spirit, not just of the flesh. There are two dimensions. There's the fleshly dimension, the realm of the flesh, and then there's the realm of the Spirit. You can't see the realm of the Spirit if you're only born in the flesh. But once you are born in the Spirit, you can see the realms of the flesh and the realms of the Spirit. And there's a day For those who are born again, who know their salvation, who know who God, who they are in Christ, that flesh will die. This corruption must put on incorruption. And I don't know there's the flesh of birds and of beasts, and there's the flesh of angels, and there's the flesh of man. There's different fleshes, different types of flesh. This flesh that is on me is not the flesh that I will be. There's coming a day when my spirit that is born again through Christ Jesus shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This body is going to die. Praise God! I don't know if you guys are happy about that, but I am tickled to life. I was going to say tickled to death. But no, I am tickled to life because there's a real life that's coming. And it comes through the Spirit of God. And me knowing that, me knowing Him as Jesus continues to talk here, everyone that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Nick answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered, asking this, thou art a master, a teacher, a master of Israel, and thou knowest not these things. We call it the Old Testament, but it was the only Bible that was before, right? Salvation is found in the book of Genesis. Amen? God's holiness and righteousness. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the prophets, all of the books of the Bible, the Psalms, salvation is found right in there. And if we would just study that, we could see God's grace on every page, in every word. Even though things look bad, God's grace was still there. Even though the people sinned, God's grace was still there. Even though Nebuchadnezzar came in and took a nation captive, God's grace was still there. His salvation was still there. I know the plans that I have for you. To prosper you. To bring you into a land that's full. That's Jeremiah 29, right? But before that happens, I'm going to send you into bondage for 70 years because you broke my law. You didn't do what I told you to. But I know what I'm doing. Church, do you trust that God knows what He's doing? Do you think God knows what He's doing in the midst of this virus?
Yes.
Amen. Do you know what He's doing in the midst of this shot thing? Do you know what He's doing with the governments of the world? Do you really have faith? See, if you have faith that God is absolutely sovereign and He knows exactly what He's doing, you have the Spirit of God. See, without the Spirit of God, we would all be afraid of the flu. Right? Without the Spirit of God, we would all be shutting down and going home and trembling in our closets. But I have the courage of God. He did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of truth. Amen? He gave me the spirit of knowledge. He let me know the difference between spirit and flesh. He let me know the difference between truth and a lie. He let me know the difference between darkness and light. And He gave me a choice. Do you really want light? Do you really want truth? Then you've got to move away from the flesh. You've got to move away from the darkness. As He continues on saying here, and verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 11, I speak unto thee. We speak of what we know and testify, and we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of the heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Again, he's speaking here of an incident that happened, right? There was sin in the camp, all right? Sin in the church, because the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea were the church of the Old Testament, right? They were the people, the Israelites. They were God's church. And so the church was wandering through the wilderness, and they took on sin. We're not going to get a hold of which sin it is. Examine your own self. All right? What's the sin in your life? That sin is like a serpent. It is looking to bite you. That sin's looking to poison you and to kill you. That sin's looking to trip you up and take you away from the light of God. The sin that dwells every human being on the earth. But God. But God, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man's going to be lifted. Where's my healing coming from? It's not from Fauci. Where's my healing coming from? It's from Jesus Christ. It's Jesus on the cross. And he said, I'm going to be lifted up. And I, if I be lifted from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus said, John chapter 12, 32, I think. Ran out of breath there. I think it's John 12, 32 says, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Right? And Jesus is talking here to Nick at night, and he's saying, listen, as Moses did this, that was a picture of what's going to happen. All right? Sin is in the camp. People are dying. But God sent a symbol of faith. And if you would just look at me, Jesus was going to become accursed because of the sin of mankind. But if we would look at the accursed thing, the thing that God loved and he allowed to become sin, if we would just look at him with faith for healing, we would be healed. Just like it happened in Moses' day. That's salvation. Looking not unto our own selves, but looking unto the Savior and the Maker and the Savior of our faith. No man, as in Luke 14, that said, no man lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. This is salvation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Die. You ought not die. Now, it says in Scripture that all are going to die and then comes the judgment, right? Right? We just looked over at Hebrews. How many die? All. Well, wait a second. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you won't perish. But you will die. Second death. Amen. If you're born twice, you have one death to worry about. If you're born once, you've got two deaths to worry about. Right? Because there's the death of the body, then there's the death of the soul. The casting out into everlasting darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? So whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, if you believe, if you're saved, if you've got this first pillar set in your heart, and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, guess what? You have life eternal. Without him, you have death eternal. Right? Okay, because the flesh is going to die. It's going to happen. And then you enter into the next realm of eternity, the fourth dimension, whatever you want to call it. You're going to leave from life, the physical life, to the spiritual life. And if you are born again, that spiritual life is going to lead you right to the paradise of God. If you are not born again, that spiritual life is going to lead you to absolute damnation, weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to lead you away from who the truth of God is. And he talks on, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. Alright? God isn't going to force you to be saved. You've got to believe. Now we're going to look at what that believing does to us. It's going to take longer than I thought. Alright. And he that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hates. What's that word mean to you?
Hate.
It means hate. It means you really, really, really don't like it. All right? If you are living in evil, if you have confessed Jesus Christ and you haven't started walking in the light of Jesus Christ, then who do you love? If you are not walking in the light, then you love darkness. But if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, then you love light and life. Because whoever you serve, that's whose master you are. That's who you belong to. Or whose masters are you. Something like that. If you're serving sin, you are the servant of sin. He rules over you. If you serve darkness, then the darkness is ruling over you. If you serve light, then God is ruling over you. And so, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Now, I like that word reproved. If you don't want to be corrected, don't come to the light. But if you want to be corrected, come to the light. I want to be corrected. Do you?
Yes.
I want. He's saying no. You don't want to be corrected?
Not always.
Amen, brother, for the honesty. I don't want to always do it, but I know that the result of that is purification.
Amen.
Amen? Because sin is pleasurable for a moment, right? And it does feel good, but it will lead to death everlasting. Amen? So anyhow, that is, these may be reproved. That was 18, right?
21.
All right. Thank you, praise God. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, exposed, and that they are wrought or worked in God. So what are these works that he's talking about? All right. If you are really born again, there ought to be a change in your life. Paul wrote a lot about this in every single one of his epistles. On all of them. I'm just going to choose one of them. Amen? I could go to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Romans. I could go through any of them. And there is a distinct difference between those who have trusted in Christ and those who have not trusted in Christ. Those who have trusted in Christ, they put away the old thing. And they walk in the newness of things. So the proofs of your salvation, the proofs of this first pillar there, salvation, after you've heard the call of God, after you've accepted the call of God, after you've held on to the hem of His garment for the healing of your soul, after you've believed on Him enough to change your walk, there should be a physical difference in your walk. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, you were dead, and then you were made alive. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you, who? You. All right, and you. Everybody, you can point right at your chest. And you. And you. All right, and you, if you're born again. And you, He hath quickened. Quickened means to be made alive. All right, and you, He hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So before you were made alive, you were... Starts in D and ends in dead. You were dead. You were dead, although you were alive. You were breathing. You were walking. You had the life of the flesh in you, but you were dead to God. But God made you alive through the death and the resurrection of His Son, through that belief. Wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All right? Before you were born, before God gave you His salvation, what did you do? Whatever you wanted to. Amen.
You don't
want to
know.
You don't want to know. Amen. But you did whatever the flesh told you to do, and you were happy with that, right? When I stole, I didn't have any guilt about stealing. If I could get away with it, I felt I deserved it, right? If I got caught for it, it was always somebody else's fault. My mama made me do it. I was born a poor white child, right? And it's always somebody else's fault. No, it was because I was a sinner. But I didn't know that at the time. I walked in the course of this world as a child of disobedience. But now I'm quickened. And he says, we're not supposed to walk that way anymore. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Woohoo! Again, folks, what is that? That's my two favorite words in the whole Bible. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. How? For grace. The grace of God gave you salvation. For the grace of God you are saved. Wow, so as we get into this, the works of salvation, I don't want you to for a minute, for a second, even imagine that your works is what saves you. Because you are not saved by works, you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, because you have the grace of Jesus Christ, you need to walk as if you have the grace of Jesus Christ. You're not longer supposed to do what it talked about, walking in the ways of the world, right? In times past, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, you're born again. Those things should not be a part of your life anymore. Or they should definitely be a lesser part in your life. All right? You should be less disobedient and more obedient today than you were last week, if you're born again. See, God doesn't let us become stagnant. You're either... thank you, Lord, for this picture. Picture a river, a creek running. That creek's always running. It never runs dry. It's just one of those creeks that just keep on going. No matter how dry the outside gets, that creek still runs. And you're either going to do one or two things. You're not going to be able to stand in that creek and just stay there. You're either going to go downstream or upstream. Any dead fish can go downstream, right? If you're a dead fish, where are you going? Downstream. You're going in the course of this world downstream, but if you are a live fish in Jesus Christ, if you're alive in Christ, we're called to swim against the current of this world because we're no longer the children of disobedience. We used to serve, it says here, we used to serve the prince of the power of the air. Before you were born again, who did you serve? Go ahead, call his name. Well, actually, the prince of the power of the air. That's what Scripture says. You served Satan. What, brother? Oh, amen. He was just agreeing. Praise God. I know you. Sometimes you got these great, deep things that are just bubbling in there.
I thought 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. Oh, praise God. And you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So the children who are disobedient to the word of God are being controlled by a what? Starts with S and ends in here. A spirit. The spirit of Adam, the sinner. The spirit of the flesh. Those who are not born again, that's what you do. You just do what comes naturally. And which is sin. Because that's who we all were. And it says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. The conversation is just not the way you talk. It's your lifestyle. We all had our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for us, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, I keep putting words there because I memorized it in one translation. All right, and I'm reading it in the correct translation. So, thank you. I love that, brother. And even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you were saved. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, are we there yet? But where does Christ see us? There. All right? Now that Christ sees us there as the children of the Most High God, should we not act as the children of the Most High God while we're still here on the earth? Although He sees us seated in the heavenly realms, I'm not there yet. So that means while I am on this earth, I'm living in the grace of salvation. The kingdom of God is alive in me. In you, if you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. The kingdom is within you. Do you know that? That Jesus said that, don't you know that the kingdom of God is within you? Mm-hmm. He is within you if you have trusted Him as your personal Savior. Now, He was talking to the Hebrews of the day, right? He was talking to those folks. He wasn't talking to the Gentiles. I'm talking to the church. Mm-hmm. All right? The same truth is, truth doesn't change, regardless whether you're a Jew or a Greek. It doesn't matter. Truth is the truth. And God said, in this pillar of salvation, understanding that, we need to stop walking, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and of our mind. When we were by nature the children of wrath, we need to stop doing that. Do you know that you can do that? Has anyone ever told you that you are able to walk in obedience to Christ? Or have they always told you, oh, you're a human. God knows you're a human. Don't worry about it. You can live in your sin. God will still love you. Has anyone told you that? I was told that. Pray after me, and no matter what you do, you're in like Flynn, right? Repeat these words. Now, don't get me wrong, the prayer of salvation, I mean, that's your first step. That's grabbing hold of the rope. That's understanding that God has called you. But once God has called you and you know He has called you, there should be a change of walk. No longer walking as the children of disobedience, following the prince of the power of the air. That should be a foregone lifestyle. Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Alright? Take the opposite of that. If you do not walk in the Spirit, what will you fulfill? The lust of the flesh. And if you do the lust of the flesh, I think there's like 18 things that he mentions there. If you do these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will have, actually, he says, you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for straightening that one up because I didn't turn to it. Ran off of my old translation in my brain. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. So the Christian ought to have a lifestyle, a walk, a conversation of holiness. Amen. Did you hear the little one back there? That was a baby amen right there. He was agreeing with it. He's still close to God. Listen, folks. I don't want you to doubt your salvation, but I do want to test your salvation. How is your walk? How is your lifestyle? Is it what you find a Christian should be looking like, living like, walking like, compared to the Word of God? If you can't take the Word of God and see your life in it, you might not be saved. All right? You might not be saved. You may have confessed Jesus Christ with your mouth, but your heart never changed, your lifestyle never changed. But I said the prayer. I went to church. I said all the Christianese things. I did the things that all the other Christians do. I must be saved. And I'm not going to get into Matthew chapter 7 where he says, Lord, Lord, right? We already know that. I'm asking you to awake out of your sleep. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 5. It's just a couple of verses or chapters over. Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, what I have is a large portion of Scripture, and it starts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, that goes to the end of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I wish this were the end of the month. Because at the end of the month, we're going to stay all day long. Amen? Yes, my brother.
Jesus says, if you love me, you'll
obey me.
That's
amen.
What he said.
Yes.
Love me,
amen.
Obey me.
And so, okay. Do you think I could just read it and not say anything about it?
No.
I can try. Thank you, brother. I'm going to try. Because I think God's words are better than my words anyhow.
Amen.
Right? So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to read to the end of chapter 5.
Amen.
You apply that how it works in your heart. Amen. Where did I say it was? 14?
17.
This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being in past feeling, underline that word right, feeling, and park it in your mind. In past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in the righteousness, in righteousness and the true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, when I say that, that's why I want to say more stuff. Putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place unto the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, that's just a little bit of what we're talking about. This walk in Christ is, if you're a Christian, this needs to be your new conversation, your new lifestyle. Chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Oh, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be mentioned among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness, nor talking, or foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore partakers, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving that which is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doeth man manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, that Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Did you see what the walk of a Christian is supposed to look like. In those few verses right there from chapter 4, verse 17, all the way to 5, verse 21, then he talks about wives and husbands and how he talks about the flesh and how it compares to the kingdom. Church, we need, if you really have this understanding of salvation, that pillar must be secured in these things that we just read. If I really have salvation, I should not look like the world. Do you know that? I shouldn't look that way. God gave us power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but He has set us free. He's set us free that I wouldn't have to walk I'm supposed to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Come on, church. Are you really saved? When you look at what Paul wrote, or you look at what Jesus said, check your salvation with fear and trembling. Because there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that have no relationship with the kingdom of God. You're still walking in the ways of the world, the ways of darkness. And I fear. I don't fear. Oh, I fear God. I'm not afraid when I say I fear. My heart breaks and trembles for the thought of those who would come to Christ in that day saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not?" And He says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. You call yourselves children of light and you don't follow me? You're a liar. You're a liar. And the truth of God is not in you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity."
Never knew him.
He never knew you. Now they knew him, but they didn't walk in him. They knew him, but they didn't obey him. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I command you? Church, are you saved? Because if we don't get this first pillar squared away, the rest of them don't even try to build them. Yeah. Don't try to pray without salvation unless you're praying for salvation. And because after that, you can't even begin. Without salvation, without understanding who you are in Christ, you can't even study God's Word properly. Nicodemus studied God's Word, but he couldn't see the spiritual side of it. He knew the Word, he knew the Scripture. He was a teacher. Jesus said, "Are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things?" Come on, church. Check yourself. I really want to get on to prayer next week. I really do, but I don't need to know if you're saved. You need to know if you're saved. You need to know it for yourself. Because if I know it, it don't make no difference to God. You need to know it. So how do you get saved? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Jesus said, "If you believe in me," and if you really believe in him, your walk should show it. Your lifestyle, your conversation. Someone who is lost and doesn't know God should be able to look at you and see God in you. If the world looks at you and they can't see Christ, He must not be there. But if the world sees Christ in you and they hate you because of that, oh, blessed you are. Because the world also hated Him. As always, I don't know how to be quiet about this. I don't know how to end it. I know we're going to say pray, and I will pray. But you've got to do something. Yeah, brother.
Can I ask?
Yeah, please.
1 John 5:13. Amen. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life.
Yes.
That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. these things we've spoken today, that you can know.
That's right.
That you can know you have salvation. Mm-hmm. That you are the Son. The Son, the offspring of the living God. Dear Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We lift our hearts and our hands before you. Father, I pray a blessing on this group of believers, whoever's within the sound of this voice, Lord Jesus, wherever they hear it, Lord, that you have touched hearts and shook their foundation to make sure that they are on that solid rock of Christ Jesus. Check me, Lord Father. If there be any sin in me, Father, help me to tell it. Let me bring it to the sacrifice altar, Lord God. I ask, Lord Jesus, for this people group, your church, fill them fresh and anew with the security of salvation, your salvation, not man-made's. Let us know truth that we can be set free. Father, we thank you and praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.